You're listening to the Chasing Red Numbers podcast, where we discuss all things golf and the journey toward improving our golf games together. Here's your host, Dusty Bryan.
Welcome to the Chasing Red Numbers podcast. If this is your first time, well, welcome. And if it is your second or third time, or if you've stayed with us, if this is not your first, welcome back. We're glad to have you for this episode. We're going to do the same thing. We discuss a lot of topics from the world of golf, and our quest for those red numbers is really kind of the driving force behind the podcast and the different episodes. You know, things like chasing those birdies and eagles and those holes that make our what might have been a terrible round, they make it a little bit easier to swallow, a little bit easier to end the day on. All of those things are just our desire. Golf is a difficult game, and we all are trying to improve in some way, in some form or fashion, whatever that might be in your game. I know what it is in my own game, and it's basically everything. And my name is Dusty Bryan, and I'm your host for the podcast, but also I'm your friend, your buddy, your pal, your classmate, whatever the case may be, as we go on this journey to improving our game and enjoying just talking about some of the things that are going on in the world of golf as well. And I do hope you've been able to get out and play maybe this week or in the past couple of weeks, hit some golf balls on your local range or practice area, get some time in with your short game, maybe chipping, putting, whatever that might be. This game, again, it's difficult enough, and it just gets more and more difficult. If we're not practicing, we're not playing, we're not working on getting better, we can't expect that we're going to go out and, you know, break 100 or 90 or 80 or 70, whatever the case may be, if we're not playing, if we're not practicing, just like anything else. And so I hope you've been able to get out and do that and encouraged in my own game in doing those things. And if you're doing that, boy, let us know. We'd love to have you visit our website, chasingrednumbers.com. Leave us a voicemail through the website. You can do that through your computer, or just leave us an email or a comment on the website. Let us know what's helping you. What is your practice routine? How often are you playing? All of those kinds of things. We want to hear from our listeners, and grateful for everyone that will participate in that way. Now, for this episode, I want to give you my experience with my first golf lesson through our local PGA Tour Superstore. And once again, I want to pass along my endorsement of using video as a part of your golf lessons, or on your, you know, how you're being taught. And I want to mention a segment that the folks at My Golf Spy put out in one of their most recent uploads to their YouTube channel. And I would recommend subscribing. And of course, some of it might not be safe for work necessarily with some of the language that they use. But just discussing the debate of getting new clubs versus putting some investment into golf lessons. And I'll have a link in our show notes for this episode on the website, or on through however you download this podcast. You'll be able to kind of click the link through to that YouTube video. Just a good discussion. It's not really a very long discussion at all, but one that each individual needs to consider, and you need to weigh out in your own golf game. And really, that's kind of the driving theme of this podcast, is getting the best value for game improvement and the experience that an average golfer might have in some of these resources. Again, I'm not a scratch player by any stretch of the imagination, and many of us are not scratch players. That there may be some, and boy, that's tremendous. We're trying to get there, but I think we all can benefit from just at least having the discussion on what would be the most value and the most help for each and every one of us. Would it be getting that additional club, or maybe upgrading those clubs in some way? Would it be the most beneficial to just get a lesson about the chipping or putting, or just having somebody take a look at the swing? And once again, the benefit that I have found in my own experience that video plays in helping me to get better in my own golf game and in my swing. Being able to break that down and have another set of eyes on that, and telling me what I'm doing wrong and what the struggles are, because not being involved with much lesson work and not really being taught, just kind of learning the game through watching and trying to imitate maybe a swing I see on television, it helps me to have somebody else take a look and to help me to know where things are going wrong and how to fix those things. So again, just the benefit of video. And we'll talk about that here in our segment with the lesson. So I'll just go ahead and get right into that. I know each teacher, every golf instructor is going to have a different approach and their style and how they think about the golf swing and maybe some differing points of emphasis in their teaching and in their drills and what they might say is maybe the most important part of the golf swing. You interview 10 different teachers, you're going to get 12 different opinions, it seems like. And so you need to find an individual instructor, whose style suits you, who you know, you kind of match up maybe with the personality or you find someone that would be helpful in the way that they give instruction, the way that they do their teaching. And so you need to find an instructor who suits you and your game and understands what your individual goals are. And they're going to work with you to help you to get there, right? It's not just, it doesn't seem like it's a difficult thing for them or a bummer for them to have to, you know, one more lesson or, you know, you're struggling and they'd rather work with a better player. Well, you know, if that's the case, then you need to find somebody else that will kind of invest in you and give you the value for the money that you are paying for what they are able to teach. And so you want to find somebody who's going to help you to find your goals. They might even give you some help to know what goals are good and help you to get to reach those goals rather than just what might be considered a cookie cutter approach or a one size fits all philosophy where they're trying to get everybody in the same positions and look the same and think the same way. We understand that doesn't work. And if we look at the current state of PGA Tour players, we can see, boy, there are a variety of swings. Just go out to your local course or your local range, and there are a variety of swings, and it could be that players of a very similar ability have very different swings. And again, just finding a teacher, that will help you to use your own athletic ability, your own body and style and all of those kind of things to get you into a golf swing that will help you to improve in your scoring. So I'm going to share my experience, but I would also love to hear of your experiences, maybe with lessons or in the difficulty or in the ease of finding an instructor that helped you. If you found a great golf teacher and maybe you want to give a shout out in some way to who's teaching you or how you're learning, it might just be through video lessons, through maybe Golf Digest online or somewhere. We want to hear about those things. That might be a help to somebody else who is also looking for that. And so we want to hear your experience. So go to our website, chasingrednumbers.com. Leave us a voicemail. Again, you can record that right from your computer. You don't have to have a special setup for that. You don't have to use your phone. Or you can leave a comment about your journey with your local instructor or the group lesson that was a help to you or something that maybe that you read. Have you ever switched instructors? And have you switched maybe a teacher or a location that you were taking lessons from? And how did that help you? Did that benefit you? Did that do what you were looking for that change to do? Did that strengthen your game, or would you rather have stayed with where you were? All of those things will be a help. If you'll share your experience, we'd appreciate that very, very much. So here's my experience. I had purchased a set of three lessons through the website, the PGA Tour Superstore website. They were running a special deal. And so I scheduled a lesson online through their reservation system, and I scheduled the day and the time, and so I arrived at the local store. I live here in the Austin, Texas area, and just started hitting a few shots. It was on a turf mat into a screen, and our local store uses a Foresight sports simulator, a launch monitor. And the PGA Certified Pro, who works at the store there, he was getting the computer in the bay set up and ready for me as a new student, getting all the information logged in and all that. And then he asked me what my goals were and what I was having trouble with, what I was maybe struggling with, what my misses were and all of those kinds of things. So I went in and explained to him what was going on with my own game and what I was looking for help with. And then he asked me to take a few swings so that he could observe and get some swings into the computer for analysis and comparison. And what they do on their software is they will put you kind of split screen with a PGA Tour Pro, and it's not to say, well, look how bad you are, look how good this guy is. The issue is it's simply for comparison. And you, it helps you to see what the proper positions might be for your swing type, your body type, all of those kinds of things. Just, again, it helps you in comparing those things to help you to see the different spots. And so he was working toward that. So immediately what happened with the video then is as he recorded some of my swings, he was able to identify what really one of my greatest struggles is in my own golf game. That is a sway. Mostly forward at the start of my downswing and through the impact, I begin to sway. Really kind of my body sways, and it's not huge, but it is enough to cause inconsistency, through the downswing and into impact. And it does not allow me to get in the right spot or get the club face in the right spot consistently. And again, just we all struggle with that. I understand that, but that's my struggle is that sway. And again, mostly on the downswing or at the transition, the start of the downswing. So we worked on some drills, just a couple. And I think it is nice to be able just to keep it to a couple, so that I would remember those things and remember what we were working toward. Just a couple of drills that were helping me to get the feel of what the proper position is, and then to work on swinging around my spine rather than swaying my upper body back and then forward. So there would be a little bit, not quite as much, but a little bit of sway on the back swing. And then really you could see it. It's almost like a trigger or a transition spot where I'd start to kind of move forward on the downswing. And again, if you're not kind of elite athlete status in your hand-eye coordination and getting your body kind of working together and matched up, so to speak, to use kind of a George Gankis term, then you're going to struggle with inconsistency. And certainly I do that. One shot could be a miss left, the next could be a miss right, and not knowing what's going on or how to fix those things, that part is the frustrating part, at least for me. And so what he did is we worked on some of those drills and getting that right feel and then taking some more video and kind of stop framing each spot in the swing so that we could see how the drill was making a difference in those positions. Again, for me, very helpful. I am more of a visual learner. Some of you might learn better just hearing it and then trying to put into practice those things that you're hearing. I'm more visual, and so it helps me to see it so that I can feel what that feels like and get myself in those positions. So what he did is after the lesson was over, and we spent maybe about 45 minutes or so just on some of those drills and kind of hitting some half shots and getting into impact position and then trying to swing back just maybe a quarter swing, so to speak, and then swinging back through and hitting some balls and just feeling that impact position. He sent me some video from the lesson of my swing, both the good position and the bad positions, and included some voiceover with his points of emphasis and a reminder of those drills. So just a little bit, maybe you might call it narration, over the footage of my swing and just kind of talking about some of those things that we had mentioned in the lesson. So he also sent me home with a kind of a prescription pad, so to speak, a piece of paper with those same drills. And I know I keep saying that, drill, 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 but it just for me needing to improve, that's what I need to do is just keep on with the drilling and the drilling and the drilling so that I can practice those positions and then feel getting into the right spots. And so he told me to come back for a lesson, the second lesson in a couple of weeks. And so that's going to take place this week. And I need to get some more practice time in and get in front of a mirror. And we used one of those little children's rubber balls to kind of put between my knees so that I would feel, instead of swaying my legs along with my body forward, getting the feel of keeping the ball between my legs, but then swinging again around my spine. So need to practice on some of those things before we get to the next lesson. So it won't look like I wasted my time or didn't do anything. But even just getting in front of a mirror and taking that little stop frame of the impact position and what we were looking to get, that is helping me to get into a right spot in the impact and just kind of ingraining that feel. And I mentioned during the lesson, I think it's absolutely true. And a good thing for any of us to remember when we're taking these lessons is that it's taken, well, in my case, I started playing when I was 16 and didn't really have any formal lessons in any of that time. So it's taken me several years. I don't want to necessarily say how many, but I'm now 46. And so from that time, just taking all of that time to ingrain, so to speak, a bad swing and those bad habits, it's going to take a while to kind of get out of those things. And so I have to realize that and realize that, you know, one lesson obviously is going to fix everything, and that wasn't my expectation anyway. But just a word of encouragement to any of us taking a lesson or trying to get better is it's going to take some time to work through those new positions or those new feelings that you're trying to ingrain. So be patient with yourself and just keep working at it. It'll come. Just give it some time, right? Just like anything that we're working on, just give it some time and continue to work and work and work, and it'll get to where you're wanting it to go. So for me, then, this lesson was helpful because my golf swing was mostly, again, it was caught by watching maybe the pros play on television or watching some lesson on the Golf Channel or reading through a Golf Digest or Golf Magazine article or something like that. But if I can see what needs to happen, I can eventually get my body into those positions that I need to get into. And that's a wonderful thing. I'm grateful for that. And I want to just mention, if you are looking at taking some golf lessons, if you think that that would be the most helpful thing for you, then I want to encourage you, boy, try to find one that will give you some video feedback, some lesson feedback by way of video that you can see, and try to work on getting in those, again, getting in those different positions. I think it'll be a benefit to you, and I hope that it is. It had been some time since our last episode. I usually try to keep these about a couple of weeks, and with just some things going on, this was about a week later than our initial desire for timeline. But just wanted to cover a couple things that had happened on the PGA Tour and maybe on the Ladies Tour as well. Going back to the last episode, we talked about the Safeway Open, and that was won by Stuart Sink, and that was held up in Napa, California, and just sad things that are going on there with the fires and things now, of course. But yay for the old guys, right? Stuart Sink, kind of an older name, and I remember that duel with he and Tom Watson in the Open a few years ago. I believe that was 2009. So Stuart Sink winning the Safeway Open, and then after that was the U.S. Open, and many of us watched that and were just amazed at maybe the difficulty of the golf course there at Wingfoot in New York, and then also at the same time we would say we could be amazed at the skill that Bryson DeChambeau showed through four rounds there of the U.S. Open, and just how he had some shots that no one else really had, and how he used his plan and what he had kind of formed his body into and the swings he wanted to make, how he brought that plan into the U.S. Open and stuck with the plan. And that is, to me, it was just interesting. And I know that Bryson is kind of a polarizing figure, and people that have different opinions, not necessarily going to get into that. But I just wanted to say a word of congratulations. If you watched that, boy, that was just an amazing display of some power, but also some touch. I mean, just the strokes gained and all that through the week, just amazing stats to kind of think through. And so congratulations to him. And then I enjoyed watching. Maybe you saw some of the Payne's Valley Cup at Tiger's new course at Big Cedar Lodge in Missouri. And I believe that opened fully to the public on September 24th. And it included Tiger and Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy and Justin Rose. And just, I enjoyed listening to those listening in on the conversations and watching them play and just kind of interact with each other. It was just kind of fun to watch, similar to, you know, maybe a foursome that you might go out with your pals and play. Of course, they're going to be very much better than any of us. But enjoyed watching that. Trust you did also, if you were able to see some of that. And then just this past weekend at the Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship in the Dominican Republic, Hudson Swafford posted the second win of his PGA Tour career, and he posted an 18-under par, and that was better than second-place Tyler McCumber by one shot. And so congrats to Hudson Swafford and his second PGA Tour win. Next up on tour this week is the Sanderson Farms Championship in Jackson, Mississippi, and it's located there at being held at the Country Club of Jackson. Just some folks in the field. Henrik Stenson, Brent Snedeker, former FedEx Cup winners are in the field, along with Sungjae Im, who was lost in the playoff last year to Sebastian Munoz, and Scottie Scheffler, who comes back after that positive COVID-19 test prior to the U.S. Open, kept him out of the Open and tournaments after that. But Scottie Scheffler is back. And so hope that he is back to feeling better, trust that he is, and looking forward to watching them play this weekend. Moving on to the LPGA Tour, back to the ANA Inspiration, the second major of the LPGA schedule this year, won by Miriam Lee of South Korea. And if you watched any of that, you might remember kind of some controversy with the backstop wall, so to speak, that was located on 18. Now, there are normally seats back there and some stands, but without the crowds and things, they still put up the wall. And so, in fact, Miriam Lee, if you watched any of the post-round interviews, said that she took advantage of that and just kind of played and bashed it up there and was able to bounce off and get a ruling and a drop out of that. But won by Miriam Lee, South Korea. The ANA Inspiration. After that was close to where I'm from. I'm from Southern Oregon originally, and the Cambia Portland Classic up at Columbia Edgewater up in Portland, the northern part of the state. That was won by Georgia Hall of England, and enjoyable just to watch some of that and seeing some of those fir and pine trees and all of that. I enjoyed watching that. Of course, they had a little bit of a difficulty with some of the conditions and things with the fires and all of that. They were trying to keep the health concerns at the forefront, and so shortened by 18 holes. I believe they played a 54-hole tournament, but congrats to Georgia Hall of England. And after a week off this past week, the ladies will be in Galloway, New Jersey this week for the ShopRite LPGA Classic. That is October 1st through the 4th. And Lexi Thompson, a popular player, she won last year and is the defending champion. Hope you'll be able to watch some of that. Now, as we kind of bring this episode to a close, I just wanted to share a couple of articles, try to do that at the end of each one, that were helpful as I read through them and maybe perused some of them this past week. And one of them is from John Sherman. Some of you might follow him on Twitter. He is the owner of Practical Golf. And he talks about the value of taking golf lessons and just offers a golf lesson guide on his website. And I will include a link in the show notes for that. Just a helpful article. Also wanted to mention womensgolf.com had an article on golf instruction. It was written by the president of the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals, Deb Vangelo, and it was entitled 12 Steps to Getting the Most Benefit from Your Golf Lessons. Just a good article that helps anyone who's interested in what we talked about at the very beginning of the episode. Anyone interested about getting lessons and entering into a time of lessons, how do you kind of go about finding maybe an instructor? How do you approach your first lesson, you know, kind of being prepared for that? And then also some steps about what to do after the lesson, how to use the lesson and the drills and the tips to continue improving. All of that is just, it was very good stuff. And so I'll have a link for that as well. But if you're interested in those articles or have some interest in getting into lessons or how to find that instructor, those would both be good practical helps for you. If you don't follow John Sherman on Twitter, I encourage you to do that. Just kind of puts out some helpful things whenever he gives a tweet out. I believe he also is part of a couple of different podcasts at different times. So just some good stuff from him. The other one I wanted to mention is in the latest Golf Digest magazine, they published an Equipment Lab article by Mike Statura about the differing types of irons. And in the article, really the focus was on cavity back irons, kind of game improvement irons versus blade irons. And what they did is they included some testing that they did between a scratch handicap player and a 15 handicap player. And what they did is they had each of these players hit shots, and they used TrackMan launch monitors to give them the data that they were looking for. And so they had them both hit with a blade. They had them hit some shots with the blade iron, And then they both hit some shots with the super game improvement, the cavity back iron. And then they tracked mainly the distance and the dispersion of those shots from both the scratch player and the 15 handicap player with both the blade iron and the game improvement iron. And just interesting results. I'm not going to reveal all of that. I'll let you look it up and see what they found and just kind of what the results were. There's a chart included with that, with the dispersion and the distances. And if you're thinking about new clubs and you're uncertain which type of club to consider, then this article might be one that would help you to read. It wasn't a long read, but just to check out. And there's plenty of research online. I believe that My Golf Spy does some of that. If you have ever seen the TXG experience on YouTube, I'd encourage you to look that up. And those guys do a great job. I believe Ian and Matt are the two that make those videos. But just interesting data that they have kind of gone through and worked through on the blade versus the cavity back iron. And so if you're looking at new clubs or maybe replacing some of your clubs and, again, uncertain about which to choose, then check some of that out. Check this Golf Digest magazine article out. It was not yet listed online. When I'm posting this podcast episode, it wasn't yet on the Golf Digest website, but it is in the latest article. You can find that. It's the one with Rory McIlroy on the cover. And just read through that article. Again, it's an equipment lab article, and it was produced by Mike Stachura, really one of their the equipment gurus there at Golf Digest. So I also, along with that, wanted to recommend checking out the Golf Digest podcast, which is entitled Local Knowledge. And really the idea behind it is they're looking deeper into some subjects that many golfers might find interesting. And so I'd encourage you, go find that Local Knowledge podcast, if you haven't already, on wherever you listen to your podcast from. Just a recommendation from me. It's just interesting to listen as some of the contributing editors or folks who work for Golf Digest, as they go through some of these issues and kind of talk through some of the things that, again, golfers are interested in. And I believe that Mike Stachura is on there. He's been on there a couple of times, just talking about equipment and testing and those kinds of things. Just interesting stuff. And so I wanted to recommend that Golf Digest podcast called Local Knowledge, if you haven't already found that. Well, again, thank you for listening to the Chasing Red Numbers podcast. I hope this is helpful to you. It's helpful for me to just kind of keep some notes and remember some lessons and tips and articles and things like that. It just helps me to kind of go back through those things. And so I do hope that you're finding some value out of this. And if you are, boy, we'd love to hear from you. Again, you can go to our website, chasingrednumbers.com. And give us some feedback there. You can also, please, we'd encourage you to subscribe through your wherever you get your podcasts from. And also leave us a rating. If you're finding some value out of this, I'd encourage you to leave us a rating on there. And that does help us and gives us some feedback to know how to improve and to get better. Maybe some things that you would like covered. Maybe there's some bit of equipment that you would like covered or a new teaching tool or something like that. And as best we can, we want to review some of those things and give you our honest feedback from that, from just an average player and how that might improve. Or maybe you might spend your money better elsewhere. We want to give you all of that information as best we can. So leave us some feedback. ChasingRedNumbers.com. We'd love to hear from you as well. Have a great rest of your week. I hope you're able to get out and play maybe during the week or this weekend. And let's do our best, boy, to improve and get better at this wonderful, wonderful game. And hope you have a great rest of your week.
You've been listening to the Chasing Red Numbers podcast.